Well, let's praise God today and by going to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. God wants to talk to us today about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to start in John 15 and then make our way over to Galatians chapter 5. So let's start in John 15 first. We'll start at verse number 1 as God talks to us today about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's jump down to verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Let's just pray right now. Father, we bless you right now for the reading of the Word of God. We're praying now that the Holy Spirit will make the Scriptures come alive unto us, that our hearts will burn with revelation, O God, that our eyes will be open to see you clear and to know even the more the will of God for our lives. Father, right now we pay full attention unto what you have to say today. We believe there is a word from the Lord. And so, Father God, we incline our ear to your voice right now. We believe that you will fill us with words of faith, words of strength, words of hope, words of life.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we bless you and praise you right now for it. Father, I pray that all of us in here, O God, will come away with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yeah,
and, Father, that we will be inspired to go even higher in our walk with you. Now, God, I just ask you to touch me and strengthen me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet,
Lord.
That I may do your perfect will, and once done, may you get the glory, the praise, and the honor, for you alone are worthy of it. And we thank you now for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. God wants to talk to us about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 in a minute. But here, Jesus talking about the true vine and said that that's who he is, that he is the true vine. And his Father, he said, is the husbandman.
Mm-hmm.
He's the vine dresser.
Yeah.
He's the one that comes in and inspects the branches to see whether or not there's any fruit on them.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know God is inspecting our lives to see if we're bearing fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen? That's why, you see, we can't think we're going to get away with it. God is always, he's looking. He's looking to see if we are going to be one of the first things he told Adam to be.
Mm-hmm.
He told Adam to be what? Fruitful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God wants us to be fruitful. And so he comes and he checks to see whether or not we are bearing fruit. And God's looking for a certain kind of fruit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for good fruit. He's looking for godly fruit.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for the type of fruit that represents his character. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look at the tree and you know what kind of tree it is if you stay there and watch the fruit develop and come to fruition on those branches.
Yeah.
So we can't fake the type of tree that we are for two reasons. One, because God is examining us and we can't trick him.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, our fruit is going to reveal exactly who we are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. An apple tree would be wasting its time trying to convince you it's an orange tree or a fig tree when all that it has on its branches is apples. But how many of you know, there's some Christians out there who are apple trees and trying to convince you there's something else. And God says you don't even have to listen, just watch, just look, just observe. Why? Because a tree is known by its fruit. God wants us to be fruitful. Jesus says here in verse number 4 in John 15, that if abide in me and I in you, he says the branch cannot bear fruit of itself or by itself. It has to be connected to the true vine. Why? Because the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the life source for the branches. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. In us, we have, amen, that river of life. Kind of song, I got the river of life flowing out of me. Right? Jesus is the source of our life. So we can't bear fruit, and we certainly can't bear godly fruit if we're not connected to Him. And Jesus said that if you're not connected to me, you can't bear fruit by yourself. So you know what? We can't will ourselves to be who God wants us to be. You can't count to 10 and then exercise patience. That's not how it works. You know, we've tried things, haven't we? You have bad habits, and you try to come up with something that's going to help you break that habit. How many people have a testimony that it didn't work? Because we can't will ourselves to godliness.
Wow.
We just can't decide, I'm going to be more like God. We have to be connected to God. And then we have to allow God to do His work in us. Jesus said, you can't bear any fruit except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches, he says in verse 5. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth not just fruit, but much fruit. That means we will produce fruit in abundance. And he said, the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. So here's the other thing. God doesn't just want us to bear fruit. He said, I want you to bear much fruit. That means abundance. You know why? Because there's a whole lot of people who need to eat off your tree.
Yes.
I remember when that revelation came to me because sometimes I'm like, man, everybody's always coming to me. You ever feel like that sometimes? Like you're put upon. People come to you for answers. People come to you with their problems. People come to you to talk to you about their situation. You go, why is anybody coming to me? You should take that as a compliment because they must see some fruit on your tree.
Right. That's
right.
Amen. 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 A hungry man ain't going up to no barren tree.
Amen.
But if they're coming unto you, it must be because there's some fruit that's evident in your life and they need to eat from it. Amen. And Jesus said, my Father is glorified if ye bear much fruit. He said this, then he said, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're not disciples because we come to church. We're not disciples because we read our Bible. We're not disciples because we pray. We're disciples because we're fruitful.
Wow.
We bring forth much fruit. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Amen. To look at the fruit of the Spirit. Because we can't will ourselves to being fruitful. But it is helpful for us to know and be extremely acquainted with the fruit of the Spirit that with God's help we can bring forth in our life. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse number 22. It says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nine fruit of the Spirit. Well, let's do this. Verse number 22 starts with the word but. So you know something was going on before that, because but's in the middle of the sentence. You got to put your but in the middle of the sentence, right? this, but that. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Because above this, in verse 19, Paul is talking about the works of the flesh. Understand what he says too. The works of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's the works of the flesh. And that's because our flesh is constantly working against our spirit to try to get its own way. How many of you know that, right? Paul says that there's nothing good, right, in the flesh. Amen? But the flesh wants to get its own way. And it works hard at it. And can anybody testify to the fact that your flesh works hard to get you to do some stuff that you aren't supposed to do?
Yes.
And it doesn't give up? Because it's working at it. It's laboring. It's putting forth a concerted effort to try to get you in it and to get me to do some things we're not supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. The flesh works at it. And it says that the works of the flesh are manifest or obvious. See, that's the one thing. You see, the thing, who we are, obvious to people. You live long enough, you can start to read, and amen, you can see the tree even before you can get up there. Right? Some women be like, oh, here he comes. You never met that guy before, but you look at tell by the way he walking and the look in his face. Right? Why? Because you've seen it before. Right? You know, you heard those lines before.
Jesus.
It's obvious. And it says that the works of the flesh are obvious. And they include these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We don't use that kind of word. That's like excess. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, you know, fighting against people, emulations, you know, just being jealous, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, right? You have rivalries with people, murders, drunkenness, and wild parties. Wild parties. My wife told me something this week. I'm detached, I guess, from a lot of things. I think it's good because she told me something I didn't know. We were watching the judge show, and then somebody said, turn it up.
Turn up.
Turn it up. Turn up. I thought, turn it, whatever. Because the judge said, yeah, you was in Vegas, turn it. Because she said, you was in Vegas, turn it up. Now I'm going to tell you to turn over the money. Because she was being kind of funny, right? And I said, What's that? She said, it's all the Facebook people and I'm turning up this weekend. I'm thinking about, I've never heard that before. Probably been out there for 15 years. I don't know about that. The first time I heard it.
I'm turning up this weekend.
Yeah, you reveling. Right there. Wild party. But these are the works of the flesh, and they produce things that are not of God, that God doesn't approve of, and that God doesn't want to see evident in His children's life. Amen?
Okay.
Amen. I mean, you can just look at the first few. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. He doesn't want that. Amen? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. So these are some of the works that the flesh produces, and if the flesh is allowed to have its way, I mean, you know, the flesh is going to lead you to disaster. It's going to lead you to you know, a place where you're just defeated and broken and broke down and relationships are shattered and you're all alone and you wonder what happened. It's because your flesh really wants to destroy you. But the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Here's the thing we should think about. We're just going to look today at love, joy, and peace. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, all fruit comes from a seed. It originates from a seed. Right? If there's no seed, there's no fruit. Right? You got to have a seed if you're going to see some fruit. When God saved us, He planted in us the Word of God, because you and I can't be saved apart from the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we get saved, the Word is planted in our heart. And God also plants the Holy Spirit in our heart. Peter said that when we are born again, we're born again not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God, which is incorruptible. So we have the seed planted in us when we get saved. But God said in Genesis chapter 1 that seed reproduces after its own kind. So if God planted His Word in us, and if He planted the Holy Spirit in us, He planted Himself in us.
Yeah.
There's no separating God from His Word. And there's no separating God the Father or Jesus the Son from the Holy Spirit. And so the Word and the Spirit is planted in us. And what is supposed to be produced in our life as a result? God. Do you understand that God planted Himself in us so that He can come forth out of our life?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The same way you plant certain fruits and vegetables in your backyard garden and you expect the fruit and vegetables to come up according to what you planted, it's the same thing with God. He planted Himself in us, and the expectation is that God is going to come forth. That's why it says that we are to be what? Conformed to the image of the Son. We are to be like Him. I'm so glad that you got God planted on the inside of you.
Amen.
I'm glad that I have God planted on the inside of me. But here's the thing. Now we have to let God grow up and come out of us. Because that's the plan. Amen. When people say that we're to be godly, and they talk about godliness, that's God-likeness. That's being like God.
Yeah.
And when we look at the fruit, and we start looking at the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to see that all this fruit is God.
Yeah.
It's from God, and we can't just simply bring it on ourselves by our own willpower.
Mm-hmm.
For example, let's look at the first fruit of the Spirit. And please, please, please. That sounds like a song.
Mm.
Do not say fruits. That's like nailed across a chalkboard. There are fruits of the Spirit. Does it say that?
No.
It says, like, people talk about the book of Revelations. It doesn't say that. The book of Matthews. You ever heard somebody say that?
Yes.
Because somebody, no, it's the book of Matthew. No S. The fruit of the Spirit. Look at the first one. The first one is love. That's not a surprise, right? Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 said what? Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It says the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this love that God is talking about here is the God kind of love. You know, I remember having a preacher preach to us way back when we were in Virginia, maybe back in the early 90s, late 90s, and he was talking about the four different kinds of love. Talking about Eros, which is sensual love, and what was the other one? Sturgo, which is like the love you have in a family, and then Phileo, which is brotherly love, where we get like the word Philadelphia, or philanthropist from, you know, someone, or philanthropy, you know, the love of mankind. But that this kind of love is agape love. Where he said it was the highest form of love that you can have.
Yeah.
That agape love is the God kind of love.
Yeah.
See, all the other love we can have as human beings, but agape love is the God kind of love.
Yeah.
And it's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's the type of love that compelled Jesus to go to the cross. Right?
Yeah.
He who had no sin being made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. That was love. It's the love of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
Or the love in the book of Romans where it says, God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners,
Amen.
Christ died for us.
That's right.
It's that love that, you know, we can't. Amen. It comes from God. It's no lovey-dovey stuff. It's not emotional. It's sacrificial. It's selfless. You know what kind of love it is? I'll tell you. It's 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Let's look at that. Amen. That's what it is. It's 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, beginning at verse 4. Because this is the love, this fruit of the Spirit called love, this agape love, this God kind of love. In verse 4, Amplified says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, it is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, watch this one, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Watch it. For it is not self-seeking. Yeah, it gets better. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I like this one. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail.
Yes.
Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end.
Amen.
That's the love we're talking about.
Amen.
Not Hallmark card kind of love.
Amen.
Not, you know, Godiva chocolates kind of love. Right?
Amen.
This is the kind of love God's talking about when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And think about this. I mean, we can't get this kind of love by saying, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to treat you better. That's not going to get it done. This has to come from God. Paul said, he said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Right?
Yes.
We are incapable as human beings to love in this manner. Yes. I mean, we would fail, all of us would fail right on this one right here. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Just think back on some of the arguments you had with somebody. And how many times you brought up what they did to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Last month, last year, 10 years ago.
Right.
That means you are taking account of the suffered wrong. I've done it.
Yeah.
I think you've done it too.
Amen.
I'm not going to look at you because I want the grace of God to remain on your life. I want you trying to convince you with your eyes that you haven't done it.
Right.
So I'm not even going to look at you. I want you getting in trouble.
Amen.
But this is the God kind of love. And we can't love this way on our own. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that pushes ourselves aside for the betterment of somebody else.
Amen.
And this is the love that God is saying that the fruit of the Spirit will produce in us. It's planted in us. But now that, you know, you got to cultivate it. Don't they talk about that when you plant things in the ground, you're a farmer? You got to cultivate the ground. I mean, you got to do some work and get it ready. And you know, fruit's just not going to come up. There's got to be something done, whoever planted the seed. And God planted the seed in us, and He wants to work in us. Right?
Amen.
He wants to work in us. He wants to teach us His more excellent way. He wants to show us how to walk at a higher level. He wants us to be fruitful. And the first fruit of the Spirit He talks about is love. The God kind of love that's selfless, sacrificial, unconditional. It's the love that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we go back to Galatians chapter 5, and the second fruit of the Spirit there is, we see, is joy. Joy. Not happiness, joy. Right? Happiness depends on what happens to you. Good things happen, you're happy. Bad things happen, you're unhappy. Happiness is fleeting. But not joy. And here's the thing about joy. I'm told, amen, that joy is not based on outward circumstances like happiness is.
Right.
Joy is on the inside of you because God placed it on the inside of you. But here's how you know you got joy. Because joy shows itself exactly when happiness leaves.
Mm.
Huh. Wow. See, happiness leaves when things get tough. On the outside. When circumstances go against you, now you're unhappy. But if you got joy, that's when joy shows up. Joy is most evident in hard times. Right? So if somebody, you're going through a hard time, but you're still upbeat. You still have a spring in your step and a sparkle in your eye. That's because you have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. Because God's joy shows up when happiness leaves.
Amen.
It shows up when you know, tough times are coming, the bills are due, and bad news is coming. Didn't James say, count it all joy when you go through various trials?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's when joy shows up.
Amen.
When you are put under pressure, joy shows up. Mm-hmm. When you put under pressure, happiness says, I'm leaving. That's why we got to be careful about something. You know, the church likes to do some stuff these days.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing it for a while, but, you know, taking a song that's like on the radio and trying to turn it into a worship song.
Yes.
Uh-oh. You know, like that. It's all about the bass, right?
Uh-huh.
And now they say it's all about the grace.
Oh,
no
God.
Devil.
Yeah.
It's all about the grace.
Lord Jesus, help us.
And I'm not against it. I don't care. Well, that man Tommy Lee Jones, when he caught Harrison Ford and Adam, I didn't kill my wife. He said, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I really don't care.
Right.
Except when we do some things that start to, you know, like that Pharrell song, Because I'm Happy. That's called Happy, right?
Right.
Because I'm happy, right? So I saw a video my wife showed me online, but they were jamming in the church to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they changed the lyrics, but they were like, "Because I'm happy." And see, we gotta be careful,
yeah.
Because God didn't call us to be happy; He called us to be joyful.
Amen. Come on
now. I don't want to be happy.
Right.
That's what I said. Oh, I ain't never gonna enter. He won't keep. Is he depressed? No. I want to be joyful.
Yes.
Having joy is greater than having happiness.
Right.
Because again, happiness is fleeting. Happiness is governed by your external circumstances.
Right.
But see, when the money's low, the bills are due, and you still got a smile on your face, you got joy.
Right.
When the doctor told you something and you still come home and your head is held high, you have joy.
Right.
Yes.
When they lay you off after you come back from lunch and tell you to clean out your desk and go home, and you say, that's okay, because God got something better for me.
That's
joy.
That's joy. Amen.
I don't want happiness. That's a watered down substitute.
Jesus.
I want joy.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And joy comes from the Lord. Jesus said in that same John 15, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy will remain, and that your joy will be full.
Right.
God wants us to be full of joy.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where joyful comes from.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And it comes from God. And watch this. And joy is part of being saved. Because David wrote in Psalm 51, when he wrote about, you know, he was really repentant over his situation with Bathsheba. He said, he wrote at one point, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
See, there's joy in being saved. It comes from God. You and I can't manufacture joy. We can't act like we're joyful. It has to be something that comes from God. It's connected to Jesus. In fact, do you remember the angel in Luke chapter 2? You know, we read the scriptures often around Christmas time, right? But then the angels tell the shepherds, behold, fear not, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. And what were they doing? They were announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. See, great joy is connected to Jesus Christ. You and I can't have any joy if we're not connected to Jesus Christ. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it allows us to endure hardships. Right? Count it all joy when you go through divers or various temptations and trials. Hebrews even said that Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. What strengthened him to do that? The joy of the Lord. Isn't that what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right?
The joy of the Lord helps us endure hard times. Happiness can't do that. Right? Happiness is a fair weather friend.
Right.
If it's sunny, I'm with you. If it starts raining, I'm out. That's what happiness says. Joy joy can be like, it's like a good friend, right? When you're going through stuff and there's somebody you know you can call on, they'll be there.
Right.
Amen. When you're going through your worst time and you that's joy right there.
Amen.
That's when joy shows up. But we can't get it from any place. It comes from Jesus. It's been connected to Jesus from the time the shepherds were told by the angel that I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. It comes from him. And even David. In fact, David in Psalm 16 says what? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. See, you can't get joy if you're not in the presence of the Lord. And if God's not present in you. But once he's present in us, now we have inside of us the seed, amen, that can produce joy. That can help us endure through hard times with our head held high. Can help us go through tough times, amen, with still a smile on our face. Still being kind to other people. We're not at the time where we say, leave me alone, I'm having a bad day. But you're still joyful. Even in the midst of hard times. Because that's when joy shows up. The third one here, it says peace. Peace. And again, you know, I'm reminded Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, my peace I leave with you. Right? He said, peace I leave with you. My peace do I give unto you. Not as the world gives unto you do I give unto you. See, Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. His peace is different from the world's peace. Sometimes I need some peace in my life. They just want things to slow down and to get quiet. But the peace that Jesus talks about, amen, is a peace that's a wholeness, that your life is whole, that your life is full, that your life... I like when Kenneth Copeland and some of those priests, they say that peace is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Right? Because that's how God wants us to be. You think about it. God wants us to be whole. He doesn't want us to be fractured and broken and all those types of things. Right? We are broken already, but now He wants to make us whole. Jesus said, I want to give you my peace. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it says, that how to tell us what? Be anxious for nothing,
right,
but by prayer and supplications, make your request known unto God. And what it says after that? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? See, the peace of God passes all understanding. You have an inner tranquility and assurance even when everything around you is going chaotic. Amen? When all kinds of things are going off in your life, and in the natural, you should be upset. In the natural, you should be depressed. You should be affected. But that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps you on an even keel. I want that.
Amen?
Amen. When the pressures of life are coming in, see, I want joy to show up. Say, I'm still good. Amen? And I want peace to guard my heart and mind that I don't get troubled and anxious and start saying some things and doing some things that I shouldn't be doing. But it can only come from God.
Yeah.
So, we look at these three, and we'll look at the others in the weeks ahead. But we look at love, joy, and peace. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand something. We go through all the fruit of the Spirit. All of them have a divine origin.
Yes.
We cannot manufacture the type of love, joy, and peace that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5. Amen? We can't do it. We can't will ourselves to the point of saying, I'm going to be selfless and love the way God loves. You can't convince yourself that you're happy when all kinds of things are going against you, or you're full of joy, I should say better, and all things are going against you. You can't fake it. You can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture God's peace. The peace that Jesus gives unto us. We can't manufacture that. It has to be because of what? That we stay connected to the true vine.
Amen. That's right.
We're going to have to take inventory. Amen. Each one of us, in our own way, going before the Lord and saying, okay, God, what fruit of the Spirit is lacking in my life that I need to work with you in cultivating so that it can bring forth the fruit that it's supposed to?
Amen.
Amen. Because this is what we're supposed to have, because it will show that we're disciples of Christ when we bear much fruit. I know for a surety, for me, there's more than one on, okay, well, there's more than two. On this list that I need to,
amen.
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 Yes.
Come
Amen.
On, somebody. We want to grow. Peter said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to God-likeness, to being like God. Does that intimidate you that you're supposed to be like God? If he planted his seed in you, he planted a God seed in you, and seed reproduces after his own kind, and so God's supposed to come out.
Amen. That's right.
All of his characteristics, all the things he done. And it has not been true in your life to a certain extent, but you want more, don't you? Has it been true to a certain extent of your life that more and more you walk with God and obey God, that more God comes out of you? But don't you want more of that? Don't you want more of God coming out of you? I'm telling you this, that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me.
Amen.
That's what God wants for all his children. So that more of his essence comes out of us. But we got to cooperate with him and understand he wants us to be fruitful. That doesn't mean, you know, being a productive around the house and the office and all that. Go ahead and do that. But this kind of fruit, amen, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. And so we're going to, God's going to do some work on us.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, indeed. Amen. Because we want to be better, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard Randy say earlier this morning about how, you know, the growing up process, you know, being a parent and parenting. It's an amazing thing. How much you learn when you're serving and taking care of other people.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yes. God, I want to let you know, there are some people who are biological fathers and mothers, but they're not parents. A parent is doting and nurturing and guiding and teaching and present.
Wow.
I mean, it takes a lot to be a parent.
Amen.
It don't take a lot to be a biological mother or father, but it takes a lot to be a parent.
Yes, it does.
And in the parenting and in the sacrifices that you make for your children and in the care and the love and the guidance on, you learn some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you are a caretaker for someone, you learn some stuff. Let your wife, Brother Baker, get the flu that puts her on her back for a week. And I mean, she can't even get out of bed. And you got to bring up the soup. And you got to, yeah. And by the time you get there, ooh, it's too cold. Okay, you go right there. She wants the orange juice. I'm telling you, when you have to serve other people, you find out what you got going on the inside, man. You thought you were patient.
Right.
But it gets revealed. And what happens, don't you love it? Because God shows you, okay, I need to work on that. Amen? I need to work on that. I believe something. As we set ourselves to follow the Lord, as he's talking to us about the fruit of the Spirit over these next few weeks, we talk about love, joy, and peace today. All the fruit comes from God.
Right.
Amen? And as we talk about these and we get into them and we meditate on them even when we go home and we allow the Holy Spirit to keep speaking unto us about the fruit of the Spirit that he wants to cultivate in our life, I'm telling you now, amen, you're going to be challenged, some things are going to be exposed, and some things God's going to call out that you need to change that. I know we think we're okay. But God wants us to be better than okay, amen?
Yeah.
He wants to take us higher and higher that we can reflect that glorious image of the Son who dwells on the inside of us, amen?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, amen? I mean, you know, good thing Jesus is a healer because after he steps on your toes, he'll stretch forth his hand and heal you, amen? So he's going to step on some toes, amen? But he'll touch them, amen? And you'll be all right. But we need this, amen. Because why? Because we cannot get better, amen, if we don't know we need to get better.
Right.
And none of us have it down. And so it's a good thing, amen. We come to this thing with humility And with the joy in our heart and spirit that God's going to teach us and show us some things about ourselves and help us be better, I'm telling you, we are going to be better. And we're reflecting even more and more in the earth. And how many of you know that's what people need today, now more than ever?
Amen.
They need to see more of God. And that means more God's people got to let that seed that's been planted in them bear fruit so that the God in them comes out of them. Amen. And that other people can be fed, nourished, strengthened, and encouraged.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So get ready. Amen. Because when you start being bearing that fruit, you're going to happen, don't you? Whole lot of people going to want to come eat off your tree.
Amen.
Amen. This ain't no showing off contest where the trees gonna be walking around with their branches out, turning around like they're on the runway and stuff. this is a lost and dying world that needs to be nourished by the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Even we heard the thank you letter that was read today during the announcements. And the thing that struck me was, they said, thank you all the people at On Good Ground Christian Fellowship. I'm telling you right now, those families got a taste of God. I'm not saying they didn't know Him before, but how many of you know? I still want a taste of God. Amen. I know Him.
Right.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Right. I want it. So it's not about trying to question what they say. No. They got a taste of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Because I'll tell you this, that was some sacrificial love that made that happen.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Amen. But love never fails. Amen. The joy of the Lord is going to sustain you. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind.
Amen.
Amen. We need this. And other people need it more.
Amen.
Amen. So we praise God. We're going to be going through this. And God's going to just take us. And I don't know how He's going to do it, brother. But I know God's going to do something.
Amen.
To change us for the better.
Amen.
Amen. But I know we all want to be better, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, bear that fruit of the Spirit. Let's rest on our feet today. Let's pray. Praise God. Amen. Praise the God of heaven who cares about us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Father, we bless you today that you're mindful of us. You are mindful of where we are at this very hour. You're mindful, God, of those places where we have seen growth and development in our lives, all because of the grace of God. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But God, you also see those areas of that need improvement,
yes.
Where those areas that need change.
Yes.
God, we desire what you desire. We want to be more like you. Not just saying it, God, but truly in our hearts. We want to be more like you.
Yes.
We want to cast off the old man and put on the new.
Yes.
We want to show forth all of the characteristics and attributes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, but we cannot do it alone. Father, we're asking for your help right now. To cultivate the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Help us, Holy Spirit, right now to identify those areas in our lives that need to be addressed.
Yes, Lord.
Those areas that need to be changed.
Yes, Lord.
We want to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
We need to have more love, more joy,
yes.
More peace,
yes.
More long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance.
Yes.
God, we want it all. And Father, we want it not so that we can boast. You said, if any man boast, let him boast in the Lord.
Yes.
We want to boast and look at what the Lord has done
yes.
for me.
Amen.
And God, we want to be used by you that you will be glorified in the earth as other people are nourished, strengthened, and encouraged by eating off the fruit of our tree.
Yes.
Father, we want to be more fruitful. But our Lord and Savior Jesus said that we cannot be fruitful
yes.
if we're not connected to the vine.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to stay connected, God.
Yes, Lord.
To avoid the distractions, to avoid the pull of this world, oh God, that we can draw closer unto you, walk closer with you. That God, that we will be intimately connected with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hearing his still small voice and be obedient to what we hear, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. Father, we thank you now for the journey that we have started on this day. We thank you, God, that the work that you have begun in us, you shall complete it. Until the day of the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we are encouraged today because we know that we are on the pathway to godly transformation. We all shall be more like Jesus. We all shall be more like our Heavenly Father. We all shall be more like our God. And Father, we thank you for the life-transforming work that you have started today. And we give you praise right now by faith for what you're going to do. We lift up our hands and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God has a plan with you in mind for you to be fruitful and more. He knows your ending before your beginning. Don't be dismayed, it's only delay. It's not only your time, but your turn. It's not only your time, but your turn.